Terry, did you see Director McShane is in attendees? Okay.
I keep, oh, there you go. It took three times to promote you.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Good, I don't see everybody here. Okay. One, two, three. I'm muted for a second. I think we have quorum, right, Siri?
One, two, three.
I'm going to count myself. Wait, maybe not quite yet. One more, I think.
One more.
Yeah, okay.
Supervisor Lopez cannot attend today, and possibly Supervisor Friend may not be able to attend.
Okay. All right. Gosh, Colin, what are you doing tonight? You know, after one meeting to the next, right, with Marianne Carbone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I know I have something later. Okay. I don't know what it is, but I have something.
Okay. I think we have quorum. We have six. One, two, three, four, five, six. We have quorum.
Okay. All right. Well, the time is 1:32, and we'll go ahead and call to order the special meeting of the Monterey Bay Air Resources District Board of Directors Wednesday. Today is June the 15th. This is a special meeting on account of the Governor Newsom's Executive Order AB 361, allowing us to meet remotely. We certainly encourage the public's participation and want to thank everybody for their patience in all of this. So having called it to order, will you go ahead and go about roll call?
Sure. Director Brown.
Brown here.
Thank you. Director Story.
Here.
Director Carbone.
Here.
Director Kosmicki.
Here.
Director Labar.
Present.
Director Eskew. Director Phillips. Director Lopez. Director Friend, Director Coonerty, Chair McShane.
Here.
One, two, three, four, five, six. We have six. We have quorum, sir.
Okay, good. Just clarifying, am I looking at the wrong? Let's see. We have our special meeting to authorize the emergency, right, Rich?
No, we're operating under.
Sorry, gosh, okay, thank you. So with that said, we'll go ahead and start with Pledge of Allegiance. And Ms. Brown, if you'll lead us.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move to public comment. This would be an opportunity for any members of the public to comment on items not listed on the agenda. Just checking to see if there's anybody here on Zoom from the public. I don't see anybody. Anything come in, Sari?
Nothing received to the district office.
Okay, we'll move into reports. We did not have a budget, personnel, and nominating committee meeting, so there's nothing to report. Rich, do you want to comment on the advisory council?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. The advisory committee did meet on June 2nd of this month. I guess that's redundant. The committee received presentations on two new potential grant programs, one of them being electrification of lawn and garden equipment. And the second was on clean air centers, providing clean air centers to the public during smoke impairment from wildfires. The committee was asked to provide input on the potential design and formulation of these programs. And that's that concludes the advisory committee report.
Okay, any questions for Rich on the advisory committee meeting, his report? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to referrals from the Air District Board. Anybody have anything they'd like to share, report on, or refer? Okay, we'll move into Rich's report from the APCO.
Thank you again, Chair, members of the board. Go quickly through this. In engineering and compliance, the federal operating permit, also called Title V permit, to Constellation Brands U.S. Operations Incorporated for Gonzales Winery is out for public review until June 24th. And these documents are available to review on our website. Our asbestos team has been routinely inspecting several large abatement and demolition projects, most notably the one at Taylor Farms building in Salinas that burned down a few months or so ago. And the other one is in Moss Landing Power Plant. They're deconstructing a lot of their buildings out there, and there's a lot of asbestos to deal with. So we're routinely checking in with them, confirming that correct procedures are followed for the removal of regulated asbestos containing materials. We conducted interviews yesterday for the air quality technician position. This will be a position that will be shared among a number of our departments. Also, an inspector position closed to accepting applications on June 13th, so we'll be moving forward with interviews very soon. Compliance did not receive any odors for the marina from marina residents since the last board meeting regarding sources out near the landfill. We were asked to participate in the City of Marina's request for proposal process, so we're going to have one of our inspectors, Bronwyn Nielsen. She'll be assisting with the review of the proposals and participating in the interview process. Proposals were due June 6th, and the interviews are tentatively scheduled for July 8th. In planning and air monitoring, I may have mentioned last month, but Camp Roberts conducted their annual burn of their interior gunnery ranges on May 25th. And this was to prevent wildfires that can be ignited during live fire training episodes and activities. They intended to burn about 9,000 acres, but they ended up only burning about half of that. And it's mostly grassland. It doesn't have a lot of smoke impacts typically, but we like to see them burn when wind and meteorological conditions are favorable to lessen smoke impacts to the public. So it was successfully completed, and the smoke moved away from populated areas in the San Miguel and Paso Robles area, and no complaints were received. So that's a success in our book. Our electric bicycle incentive program is pedaling along. And it looks like we're going to be obligating all of the $50,000 we had this year for low-income applicants. We expect to extend this program with the passage of today's budget for next year, and we'll open it up to individuals still giving a fairly good incentive to low income, but we're going to also offer a regular incentive to folks that are not low income. And then lastly, in the planning program, the AB 2766 mobile source emission reduction grant application period has been extended to July 1st to allow opportunity for more applications to be submitted. So if you guys are aware of that, that's the program. You get to come to us for projects up to $400,000. And we this year, I have, think about $1.6 million or so available for direct air emission reduction grant projects. And then lastly, I just wanted to fill in the board. I had mentioned some time ago that, you know, our agendas are getting smaller. We're actually doing business in a more regular fashion, a lot less controversy. So we can start looking at perhaps scaling back on our meeting frequency. I have spoken with Les Gerard, our counsel, on this, and there's nothing prohibiting us from doing that. So what I would propose, and I'll bring this back to the board for your consideration and approval in August, just because we had to have these last 2 month meetings anyways because of the hearing for our budget. But we're dark in July, and I'll bring this back in August. And then I would propose for your calendars that we start looking at skipping every other month. So we would skip September and then meet again in October and on and on. I would recommend, and once again, I'll bring this to the board as a board item, but I would recommend you still hold the dates available for the regularly scheduled meeting on a monthly basis, just in case. We always, it seems lately with the California Air Resources Board, they send us a grant and say we need to get approval within, you know, 8 hours or something, which is by the board. So that's sometimes we have just incredibly fast turnaround that's required for some of these programs. So we'd like to reserve that. I know you all are very busy, so that's already reserved on your calendar. So if you could just make that available, and we'll try to let you know as soon as possible if the meeting needs to happen or not. And as I said, I'll bring that to you at the August board meeting. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rich. Any questions for Rich? Yep. Let's see. I have, there's Sam's hand, Mary. Okay, Mary Ann, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't see the other hands. Yeah, I just was wanting to bring up, if we went to every 2 months, is that going to bring up any issues with the AB 361? You know, every 30 days on
Rich, I'll jump in there on that. You would have to have, if you don't meet within 30 days, you have to have the special meeting right before the regular meeting in order to make the findings. So you would have to do that, but that takes 5 minutes at max, but that could be regularly scheduled then.
Unless you may know too, I believe there are some pending legislation that would sort of free up or at least make it a little bit easier to participate virtually.
So I'm familiar with two bills that are winding their way through the state legislature. I don't know the current status of them. One would effectively be AB 361. The other would have a bit more stringent requirements. It would require a quorum of a board to at least be in person. So I'll do my best to get a status on that. But the one bill that I think has a chance of passage would basically make permanent AB 361. AB 361 by its own terms expires in January of 2024. So it's good for another year and a half unless this legislation is adopted.
Fair enough. Great. Sam?
Oh, thank you, Steve. Rich, would the budget and personnel nominating committee meet on that same schedule?
Yes, I would say that. You know, that was primarily designed around since board members were coming to the district anyway. So I think there's some flexibility to that. Certainly like today, we did not need the budget and personnel nominating committee. So we'll bring that back. Also, probably the other next logical question is, when are we going to meet in person? And I was hoping to do a hybrid meeting this time around, but we did have a case in our office this past week. So we've gone on, not lockdown, but we're following state protocols for mask and all that stuff. So we're still dealing with the COVID-19 issues. So hopefully maybe in August, we'll be able to meet in person or a hybrid.
Thanks. Pretty good. Let's see, was there a hand? Did you have your hand up, Director Askew? No, she's good. Okay, well, we'll be back in touch on that item. Any other questions for Rich regarding his report? Okay, and I just want to confirm, did Director Phillips join us? Is he on the 755-5000?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Okay, great. Thank you for confirming that. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. There's six items. Is there anyone that would like to pull an item from the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, just looking to the public, you don't see
nothing received at district office.
Okay, so we'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll move the consent agenda.
Thank you, Director Brown.
I'll second Kosmicki.
Thank you. Okay, moved by Brown, seconded by Kosmicki. If you will go ahead and call the roll, Siri.
All right, Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Story.
Aye.
Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director Askew.
Aye.
Director Coonerty.
Aye.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Friend, have you joined us? Director Lopez is absent, and Chair McShane.
Yeah.
Okay, approved unanimously.
Great. We will move on to our regular agenda. We have our second public hearing and vote on our proposed budget and fee schedule. So with that, Rosa, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Rosa Rosales. I'll be doing a presentation on the June draft budget. This is the second public hearing for our fiscal year 22-23 budget. So I'm gonna go ahead and share my screen. Can we all see that? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so this is our Monterey Bay Air Resources District draft budget for fiscal year 22-23, the second public hearing. I'm just gonna do an overview of the revised budget in brief, the budget revisions since the first public hearing. I'm gonna go over the expenses, revenues, and a couple of the budget schedules. So our budget in brief, I revised it a bit just to show our new total budget. It increased to 27.1 million. It was previously 26.7. So our operational budget also increased to 7.5 million and our non-operating budget increased to 19.6 million. This is all still proposed. These are the assumptions we used to create the budget, the fee increase of a CPI, the consumer price index for the permit fees and the per capita fees, 4.2%. We still have 33 full-time employees that we are proposing, and that includes a salary increase of 3%. Our fixed assets are 434,000. Our OPEB and pension trust deposits, 120,000. Our emission reduction grants, 17 million. Our plug-in Monterey Bay and electric vehicle and bike incentives of 1.4 million and our wood stove changeout grants of 218,000. Okay, so some of the revisions from the first public meeting, we made some page additions and some updates. So one of those additions was on agenda page 30, we added the board of directors page. Page 31 was a table of contents. We also updated the AEPCO memorandum on page 34. We just updated the budget numbers to reflect the revised budget. And we added an introduction page on page 36. And this just has more information about our air pollution program. We also updated the monthly salary is on page 64. And that reflects the 3% pay increase that is effective in July, the first full pay period. And then we had an increase to the Moyer grant expenditures of $315,000 for the state reserve grant funds. We had put the money in the revenues, but I didn't put it in the expense side, so I went ahead and added it. We had emission inventory funding, AB 197 revenue of $12,583, and that's based on a final contract. Increase to the CAR prescribed burn revenues of $31,400 based on final contract, and minor updates to the budget schedules due to the above changes. So this is our new expense pie chart. So it increased $315,000, and that was primarily in the grant payment section. And then our revenues increased by $43,983, and that is reflected in the state grants and the other revenues. And then some of the budget schedules I'm gonna go over is the operating budget. In our operating budget, we have total operating revenues of $7,470,632. Our operating expenditures of $7,468,531, and we're projecting an operating surplus of about $2,000. So we're kind of breaking even here for the operating budget. So our non-operating budget was, which is primarily our grant, revenues of $10,032,098. Total non-operating expenditures of $19,595,000, and our projected non-operating deficit of about $9.6 million. And this is largely due to that, you know, we have outstanding grants. Most of our grants are multi-year contracts, so it takes more time to spend down these grants. And then our general fund, we have total revenues of $5.7 million, total expenditures of $6.3 million, and we have a projected deficit of $631,000. So our projected fund balance is going to be about $6.4 million at the end of June 30th, 2023, and we have some money reserved for economic uncertainties. It's about $1.9 million. For building and facilities, it's $100,000. OPEB and pension, $120,000, which leaves us with an unreserved amount of $4.4 million. So our projected deficit should be covered by the reserves that we have. And if you see in our general fund, our general fund balance, we had surplus of, I think we're projecting about $300,000 surplus for this year. And last year we had almost $1 million surplus. So that was due to COVID and a lot of things not happening. And we had several vacancies in staff. And that is my presentation. So I will take any questions.
Thank you, Rosa. I like that surplus of $2,102. got to count every dollar. Okay, let's just take a look and see if there's any questions. I know this is our second bite at the apple. Our intention is to approve a budget today. So just looking amongst directors, I don't see anything. Okay. And then Siri, anything from the public there?
Nothing received at the district office from the public.
Okay. Yeah, just want to thank you, Rosa, and staff for putting this together, the hearings and everything else. Let's go ahead and just looking for a motion at this point to approve the 2022-2023 budget.
Of the budget.
Okay, I got to ask you there, and a second, was that a second, or is that Phillips?
Second from Phillips.
Okay, moved by Askew, seconded by Phillips. Will you call the roll, Siri?
Yes. Director Askew.
Aye.
Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Coonerty.
Aye.
Director Story.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Chair McShane.
Yes.
Okay, all rest are absent. Passed unanimously.
All right. Well, our final item is to hold our final hearing and adopt a resolution approving our revisions to the fee schedule for the district. And so with that, we'll introduce Amy.
Hello, good afternoon. I will be, there we go. So thank you, directors. Good afternoon. And I will begin my presentation. And as Rosa said, this is our second board hearing where we're looking for adoption of the fee rule revisions. And each year we propose fee rule revisions which feed into the budget. And so this year we're looking to revise three of our fee rules, Rule 300, district fees, Rule 301, fee schedules, and Rule 306, the asbestos national emission standard for hazardous air pollutants, otherwise known as NESHAP fees. The proposed major revisions to the rules is a 4.2% increase for all across the board for all fees based on the consumer price index. I'll be showing the next two bullets in a little bit, showing you revisions to some language in Rule 300 for fuel dispensing facilities. And then we're proposing to remove the asbestos cancellation fee in Rule 306. And just to provide a little context, I just wanted to, for our 4.2% increase, we looked at a couple other air districts, and Bay Area bases their fee increases on a cost recovery study that they have done every year. And so their increases are based on achieving a certain cost recovery number, like 95% cost recovery. And so they look at each program separately. And so in their case, some fee schedules may increase as much as 15%, but other fee schedules may have no increase. San Luis Obispo, they're looking at a 6% minimum increase and up to 15%, and they're trying to make up for some lost increases that they have not taken over the last 5 years. So there are a few increases to some of their fees that are actually higher than 15%. The 15% cap is on permit fees, and that's a health and safety code requirement for air districts. But for example, they're increasing their application filing fee from $220 to $360. And you'll see in the next slide that that $220 value is more closely related to what we currently charge for filing fee. And then finally, Santa Barbara is proposing a 4% increase plus a 1.65% makeup for a total of a 5.65% increase. And that again is due to them not raising fees in the past few years and needed to have a little makeup for not increasing their fees. So as an example of what a 4.2% fee increase would mean to our customers, today the filing fee is $220. So that it would increase by $9. So starting July 1, the fee would be $230. Another example would be an emergency diesel engine. They currently pay a flat $380 fee to renew those permits each year. So a 4.2% increase would be $16. So that would result in a fee next year of $396. And then finally, our hourly staff rate is currently $157. that would increase by $7, resulting in $164. And then next, this is just an example of our asbestos fees and how they would change. So currently it costs $464 per structure for demolition fee. That would increase by $19. So it would be $483. The lowest level of asbestos containing material fees is currently $806. That would increase by $34. So starting July 1, the new fee would be $840. And then finally, we're proposing to remove a cancellation fee that we have in the rule. So this slide just shows you the changes that we're proposing to Rule 300 as it relates to fuel dispensing. And currently the language in Section 4.6 specifically uses the word gasoline, but there are other fuels that we permit. And so we wanted to clarify that this section doesn't only just apply to gasoline dispensing. There's fuels such as E85, which we would permit the storage and dispensing of that type of fuel. So we wanted to make sure it was clear that this is covered by the rule. So on this next slide, you'll see we added a section to make it clear that a subsection to 4.6.3 that includes other fuels need to pay a nozzle fee and a dispensing fee, just like a gasoline dispensing system would. We have received no comments from the public, written or email, or I have phone calls. And so today our recommendation is for the board to adopt a resolution approving the fee rule revisions. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. It's never fun to consider and raise fees, but look at some of these other jurisdictions. Here we are. So just looking for any questions at this time from board members. Not seeing any. And then just going to the public.
Nothing received at the district office.
Okay, pretty straightforward. So at this point in time, we're looking for a motion and a second.
So move Carbone for approval.
Second.
Okay, moved by Carbone, seconded by Brown. Siri, go ahead and call the roll.
All right. Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Phillips.
Aye.
Director LaVar.
Aye.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Story.
Aye.
Director Coonerty.
Aye.
And Chair McShane?
Yes.
Approving unanimously.
Okay, well, that brings our business to a close. Our next meeting is August 17th because we are dark in July. I want to thank everybody for attending and wish everybody a cool and safe summer, especially those in the eastern parts of the district. South County, I'm looking at you, Colin. I'm sure it's warm. It's warm here in Salinas. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for attending today. All right. Go ahead and stand adjourned.
Happy summer.
Thanks, everybody.